Hello, 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 drama listeners. I'm so excited for this episode today. It's a little bit different. We have Marty Gold Cummings, drag legend, political activist, TV personality, and host of Stage Fright at Red Eye in Hell's Kitchen on the show today. And it is such a fun episode. We talk about drag and reality TV and Marty's friendships with Bronwyn Newport and Wild Whitney Rose from Salt Lake City. Hello, as well as discussing the incredible lineup that Marty has at their show, Stage Fright at Red Eye. You're absolutely going to love this chat. It's so New York. It's so queer. It's so activated. You're just going to love it. Before you get into this chat we have here today, I want to tell you about our Patreon, Drama Plus. So for $5 a month, if you go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast, you become a member of Drama Plus. Again, $5 a month to become a member of Drama Plus, and you get bonus episodes of the podcast. Plus, you get access to our Instagram close friends where we spill all the tea and we get into all of the theater, pop culture, love life news that's just for our most devoted fans. Anyway, you're gonna love this episode with Marty. We love you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tell all your friends about drama, and it's time for the show. See you in a second.
Press play. Curtain up and now we're in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, there's only one thing on my mind this week. It's the water cooler event of the spring. I mean, the White Lotus is back.
Yes. Oh
Are
my
you
God.
so
And
obsessed?
of course, when this comes out, we'll have learned so much more about, yeah, because I think it'll be this in real time. It's mid-February, but I think this is coming out beginning of March. So we'll have learned so many more of the mysteries of the troubled, white privileged, insane characters that fill the halls of the White Lotus. And it was a good premiere. I thought it was a little slower than I was expecting.
Was it? See, I thought it was so densely filled with context, content, development, et cetera, that they dropped us in and we have to just take it all in because it's all going to pay off as it goes along.
Always.
I thought it was interesting that it's a wellness White Lotus season. It's like a wellness retreat vibe.
Yes, it's less
That's
about like
different, right?
the dining and the drinking and the exploring the
Although
location.
in season one, Tanya, played by Jennifer Coolidge, did famously go to Belinda. And she was getting wellness treatments there.
That's
So
right.
that's maybe it's always been wellness focused. But how do you feel about the cast overall? I feel like White Lotus is this perfect place where you drop these like incredible performers of like varying stages of their careers and just give them such meaty material to chew on.
Well, anytime Parker Posey is involved, I'm going to be sat. The discourse around her accent, love it.
She's giving Tennessee Williams play drama with the accent.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm living.
Her, of course, Carrie Coon. I love to see her in something a little bit different. It's jarring having just, with Gilded Age and now seeing her play a modern role.
Well, because even in Leftovers, it was very like specific what she was doing. She was like woman in crisis. Well, I guess she's
Yeah.
going to be in crisis in this too,
It
but
seems
in
like
a
it.
different way, in a different way. I know, and
Yeah.
Leslie Bibb is great, like quietly always doing great work. I think she's going to pop off and I think she's going to murder the other two. That's my prediction
Oh,
there.
okay. Because that's right. Because the show is kind of a murder mystery.
Yeah.
It opens with a body. Very Sunset Boulevard. Opens with a body. And then
Oh,
as we go along, we
yes.
see. So I have to just mention, I don't think that the white boy of this season is compares to from the previous years with being Patrick Schwarzenegger.
You don't like him?
I mean, I
He's so
like
he's
him.
cute.
I just don't think he compares in hotness to like Theo James from last
Okay.
season.
Yeah. Or wait, what about that other really cute boy last season who was with the Portia character? He was like the son of
Oh
Michael
yeah.
Imperioli. He was
I
so
forget his
cute.
name and he was super
I
cute.
know,
And
he
of
was
course Leo
cute.
Woodall was maybe they'll introduce more. Maybe they'll introduce
Okay.
more
Yeah, they
new
probably will fill
characters.
them out. But I know it's so good. I already can't wait for Sunday. And it is torture having to wait week to week. But I love the convos that form in the weeks in between, the theories, the
The
discourse.
memes.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing.
I know.
Shows that drop all eight episodes at once and move on can't compete. They just
I
can't.
agree. Agree. Listen, it's a week to week show. We have someone on our podcast today who also has a week-to-week show where you have to wait to unpack the drama, the excitement, everything that's happening.
It's true.
And I'm so excited to have this
I
person on with us
know.
today.
Me too, me too, me too. Dylan, would you please do us the honor and read the introduction?
I would. You know, I have to mention, when we first launched this podcast, we used to have, because it's theater, pop culture, love, and life, we used to have another part of that. It was theater, pop culture, love, and life in New York City. But we cut that when the pandemic came because we started talking to people from all over the place. But I have to say, this person is like ingrained in the fabric of New York. And I think that's very,
oh my God.
I love that we have that, we're documenting the history here in real time. Our guest today is, as I mentioned, a New York City icon, best known as a drag artist, television personality, and political activist. They are an Out 100 honoree, two-time GLAAD nominee, received a World of Wonder Wowie Award, Glam Entertainer of the Year title, and many more accolades. You'll recognize the star from the docuseries Shade Queens of NYC, The Marty Report on Logo, Worst Cooks in America, Hulu's Drag Me to Dinner, The Exchange Rate, and more. As a recording artist, they released A Very Marty Holiday, featuring some of Broadway's biggest names, as well as their hit single, Cake. They've been featured in Vogue, W Magazine, Paper Magazine, Time Out New York, The New York Times, as well as appeared on Good Morning America, The View, and Inside Edition. They made history as the first openly non-binary candidate to run for office in NYC when they ran for city council in 2021 to represent District 7. And they were also the first drag artist to be invited to moderate a panel at the United Nations. You can see this multi-hyphenate at Red Eye every Wednesday night for Stage Fright, their live Broadway and theater talk show in Hell's Kitchen, as well as monthly at 54 Below, hosting the Big Broadway Drag Brunch. Please welcome to Drama,
Marty Gold Cummings.
Oh my God, not that long ass bio. Work.
I had to cut so much, Marty,
work.
Just so you know.
I gotta condense that to like, oh, she's a drag queen.
No, I would feel like even everywhere I was like doing research for you, it's so hard to pin you down as just being one thing because I do feel like you have so many different passions and interest areas.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that like what life's all about? Like you gotta branch out, you know? And I've been in New York, it'll be 20 years in June, so I'm like an old lady. So there's been like a lot of different lives within that, and now at you know, almost 38, they're kind of converging in a really cool way.
Oh my God. So it's not 20 years of Marty though.
No, like when, okay. So I moved to New York when I was what, 17, like 2 weeks after high school. And then I think like my first kind of like, when did I start drag? Like 2008 or 2009. So I moved in 2005. I started drag in like 2008 or 2009. And then I remember my first big interview I ever did was with Out Magazine, and that was in like 2010. So, I mean, it's been a while that I've been out here hustling.
Oh my God.
But we all hustle. Performers hustle. We hustle.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you got to have a 20-year New York anniversary party event to tie in with Pride.
That's a good idea, actually. This Pride is already starting to get a little like chaotic with like bookings coming in, which is really exciting. But I was thinking about like when I get to my 20-year drag anniversary, I'll do something really big. I want to do something really, really big.
Yeah. Mm. Now, will you be venturing to DC to see J-Lo at World Pride?
No.
You're not going to get loud?
No, I'll go to see Sasha Colby.
there you go.
That's who I'll go to see in Troye Sivan. I actually just booked something today. So I'm going to be at the Howard Theater with Gottmik and Nymphia during a political drag show on June 5th in DC during World Pride. So tickets will be at Flip Phone Events soon, I'm sure. So stay tuned for that. I'm very excited. I just booked that literally like an hour ago.
Oh my God. Congrats.
Breaking news.
This just in. Breaking news. I'll be at World Pride performing.
Oh, I love it.
I'm sure you did a million things for World Pride back in 2019 and when it was in New York.
World Pride 2019 was so major. It was so much fun. I remember I got asked, I don't even know how this happened, but I got asked through this ad campaign to be like one of the faces of New York City queer life. And it was one of those things, like, you know, when you're a kid and you have your in your mind vision board or whatever, seeing my face on like buses and bus stops was, I know it's such like an ego thing, but I was like, yeah, bitch, you did that.
You made it.
It
That's your ish moment.
was really cool. I felt like Sarah Jessica Parker in Sex and the City, like the bus is going by and then something tragic happens to me and I spill my coffee all over myself.
That intro sequence is truly iconic, by the way.
It's truly iconic. And I felt like that. Like I fully felt like that. But I remember the first time I saw it, I like had my face and makeup on because I was walking to a gig and like a backwards baseball cap and sweat shorts and like athleisure, whatever. And I looked so run down. And then I'm like, oh my God, there I am at a bus stop. And of course I'm like taking a video, like, hey, and people are looking at me like I'm a crazy person, but I don't care. I was like, fuck it. Oh, sorry, can I curse on that? I'm so sorry.
Please
Please bleep,
do.
bleep, bleep,
Please
bleep, bleep,
do.
bleep, 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 bleep. Censor, censor. Yeah, I mean, it was really cool and World Pride, like it was so special. And this World Pride, I think, is gonna be really exciting because, like, yes, we have all those performers and that's great, but I'm excited that I'm doing a political themed show. And I know there's a lot of corporations backing out because they're bowing down and kissing the ring of President Musk. And I hope, my hope is that Pride, I've always been a believer that Pride is always the riot. And I think we should take to the streets and do like the French and light it all up.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well,
I'm with
I was going
you.
to say, when you mentioned that it was a political drag show, that's right up your alley. You kind of find yourself in the intersection of drag being a political statement.
Yeah, I mean, every drag artist has their feelings on this, but I think no matter what, like doing the art of drag in itself is an act of political resistance, especially. I mean, it always has been, but especially now. And you look at drag artists like the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, who are out there for decades doing the work. They started helping people during the AIDS crisis and were really instrumental in supporting that community. And, you know, a lot of people like love Harvey Milk, you know, love the legacy of Harvey Milk, but a lot of people don't realize that the actual first openly queer person to ever run for office in this country was a drag artist, Jose Cerdia, who also ran for the San Francisco Board of Supervisors in 1961. So drag has always been at the forefront of politics, and we know that all this anti-drag legislation is actually anti-trans legislation because of the fine print that they tie into it. And any of the LGBTs who aren't standing up for trans and non-binary and two-spirit and intersex people, I believe those are the ones who don't have a place in our community. Trans people are the pioneers and leaders of our community, and drag artists have to continue to fight for them.
I really appreciate
Absolutely.
you saying that because it's I've seen a lot of things lately of people just, especially the G's, kind of being a little bit quiet when there's been this erasure of T. And it's like people are really only looking out for themselves, but we have to be looking out for each other in this community in this time.
Yeah, and like, listen, if they think they're not going to come for them, the Kennedy Center just canceled the gay men's chorus. Like, that
Yes.
might seem like a frivolous thing, but like, baby, they're coming for everyone. So wake the fuck up and stand up for the most vulnerable among us.
Yes.
Absolutely. Marty, when did you become so politically engaged? Was it when you moved to New York? You were coming into your own identity? Or, like, I guess I'm just so curious about it because we do look to you as a voice, a strong voice who so confidently can speak out on things like this that matter.
Well, I was the senior class vice president at St. Mark's High School in Wilmington, Delaware.
I love it. I believe it, by the way. But just vice president, you don't want to go for
No. Very subtle, very, very
Yeah,
subtle.
I
Very
like that.
demure, as they say. I you know, like when I started drag, I got connected with the Ali Forney Center very quickly, and now I'm on their board of directors, and I love the work they do for our unhoused queer youth. So that's political in a way, but I think like a lot of people, I got really engaged when Trump first launched his first campaign. And it was one of those moments where I was like, what am I doing? I have a microphone and followers, and what am I doing? I have to learn about our political system. And so really buckled down and like tried to educate myself as best I could and continue. It's a constant learning process. And I try to use that as a way to educate other people. And thank you for saying, you know, folks look up to me, but I look up to leaders like, you know, Julie Jay and Queen Jean and Honey Mahogany and, you know, these incredible women who are doing this incredible work for trans people. And of course, Brian Derrick, who we talked about before this, who was my campaign manager and started Oath as a way to help candidates and get information out there. So there's a lot of people who are really, really instrumental in doing the work. And I feel I'm just like a small, you know, part of it.
But an essential part, regardless. So, yeah, it's, you mentioning Brian, we went to college with Brian. Everyone follows Brian on Instagram. Brian was one of the early people, and I'm not gonna, I caution to say this on the podcast because I don't want to owe him any royalties one day, but he was one of the people who used to catch on that Connor and I would always, because the title of the podcast, Drama, has been a long catchphrase of ours. We'd be like, drama, like reacting to anything in college. And Brian used to make fun of us. He'd be like, you guys are drama. You guys are the drama. And so when we
Yes.
made it the podcast, I remember when we told him, he goes, well, what else would you call it? I'll just say, Brian, we love you. And we're grateful
We
that you
love
were able
Brian.
to,
We love
yes.
Brian.
Yes, he bought helped bottle it. That's for sure. Wait, Marty, we jumped right
Absolutely.
in. I'm kind of curious. Like, we're finding you here on this wintry day. Are you well?
Recently engaged. Recently engaged.
Recently engaged. Me. Recently engaged. He's a cutie. Recently engaged. Am I well? I hate winter. Oh, I hate winter. And like planes keep crashing and our constitution isn't a thing anymore. But like other than that, like I practice a lot of self-care. My motto for 2025 is I'm calling it Kim controlling my life, where I will never be in a situation for more than an hour if I don't want to be, or whatever her quote is. I'm Kim controlling if I just want to, I did this thing a couple weeks ago. I had like two birthday parties for friends like back to back, and I was tired, and it was happened to be like my only night off that week, and I just wanted to be home with my dogs and my fiance and just like a potato on the couch. But I was like, I have to show up for my friends. But I set a timer for 45 minutes for each, and I was like, Kim, control your life. And I went, happy birthday, mingle, 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 picture, picture, hors d'oeuvre, mocktail, sleigh, home by 11:30, and it was so nice. So that is like my self-care. I'm very fine with leaving things early. I am very fine. I went to this gala the other day. As soon as the dinner was done, I was like, I don't want to be here for 3 more hours. I want to go watch Salt Lake City Housewives and like unwind.
Absolutely. Wait, Kim Cattrall, your life is an incredible 2025 outlook, motto, mantra. I'm obsessed. Wait, also, Marty, I remember, okay, fall 2022, you were hosting at the Spot, and Wild Whitney Rose was there with her family and her
Wait,
posse.
were
And
you there that
I
night?
was there. Oh my God. That way, it was so packed in the Spot. I don't think I've ever seen it so crowded in the Spot bar. That was nuts.
Whitney's on the show twice. I love her. I just had lunch with Bronwyn last week. She's become, a friend who is so funny and just like amazing. We had this like, I don't know, it was like the most like deep like breath. Like we were just like really like getting into it in the best way. But Whitney's amazing. Her husband Justin is amazing. I did this video for Whitney's daughter recently, because kids can be mean about having red hair, which is wild. Julianne Moore's book about having red hair just got banned by Trump, which is
Yeah.
wild. So I wear red hair a lot, and so I made this video for Whitney's daughter where I was like, fuck the mousy haired bitches, like rock your red hair,
Oh,
I was
that's
so
cute.
cute.
Well, you're speaking to two gingers here, so we
Hey,
appreciate that.
baby, baby, I'm marrying one.
Good taste. Wait,
Minta.
okay, so Salt Lake City Housewives is the pinnacle of our culture at this moment. I
Top tier
mean,
television,
it's
top
everything.
tier.
How did you and Bronwyn get hooked up?
We did an event together right before it was announced that she was on the show for Drag Out the Vote. She was in New York City. Her and her husband produced this event. She was so lovely and like wild in the best way, and we kept in touch. And she was in New York City last week, or maybe it was the week before. I can't remember, but she was here for Fashion Week, whatever that was. And she messaged me, and she was like, "Hey, let's like get lunch. I'm like free for like 2 hour window on this day." And we got lunch, and it was like amazing. And we like message all the time. And she's so fucking cool and so chill. And I'm all about it. She's a huge ally. She's a huge ally for queer rights and for drag artists and for trans people. And I think that's so important because you have like the Lisa Barlows who are just to me like closeted homophobes, casually throwing out you're having a circle jerk and thinking that's okay when really like trying to out somebody is actually extremely dangerous and homophobic. And even like the notion that Sean being gay is a bad thing is like, first of all, between him and his wife and his family and nobody's business. And I hate fake allyship. I hate fake allyship.
I know, it's
Oh my
crazy. And
gosh.
you can tell that even Whitney too is like such an ally. Bringing them to
Oh,
the drag bar
loves,
this season was
loves,
amazing. Oh my God.
loves.
What was the second show you did with Whitney? 'Cause I was at the Spot one.
It was the same one. I was at the Spot.
Same
She
one.
came back. She like texted me and she's like, I'm coming back to New York. Can I do the show again? And I was like, yeah, bitch. Like, what? What do you think I'm gonna say now? Like, get up
Oh,
in
so
here.
good.
She's
That was
amazing.
great. Oh, that's right. That was during BravoCon. So there was tons of housewives everywhere. That's right. I remember that now. Yeah. That
Housewives
was great.
everywhere. The second time she was just, I don't know why she was here, but my fiance is a really big fan of hers, and she wanted to go to lunch also. She was like, let's hang out outside of work or whatever. And we went to lunch, and she happened to be staying right near his office, so we went to the sushi lunch, and the whole time he was so cute. He was just like, Utah, it's cool.
Oh,
He used to live in Salt
starstruck.
Lake City, so they were bonding about that, but it was really funny. He was so mad he couldn't go to lunch with Bronwyn because of a work meeting, but I was like,
Bummer. What other
That's
housewives
adorable.
shows do you currently hold up with that you are enjoying?
I used to love New York. I used to love it. I don't watch the new one. I don't like it as much. I love the old one. Dorinda's everything. Sonia is everything. Ramona is an asshole. She called me a he/she once on some radio show when we were on
Oh.
together. I think she's complete garbage and complete trash. And I think she's a racist, transphobic piece of shit. But I love Bethany's TikToks now about everything. She's really serving, getting unions for reality. I've done so much reality TV, and one of which I produced and is playing on Amazon Prime all over the world, and I don't see a dime of it. And I'm like, that is crazy that people message me all the time when shows I always know when something's re-airing because I'll get a bunch of DMs, and I'm like, cool. Run me my check. So I love Bethany leading the charge on unionizing and getting residuals for reality TV people.
The reality reckoning, right? Isn't
The
that what it was? Or
reality reckoning. But okay, I love Beverly Hills. This season though, I don't know what it was. I watched two or three episodes and I could not get into it. And I love Beverly Hills so much. So I was like, why am I not feeling it? I think I'll revisit it I don't know, late, on a flight or something,
yeah.
When you can binge it, I feel like you can get through some of the, because it can be a little mundane when they're rehashing the same Yeah, I'm like,
conflict
girl,
every single episode.
let's roll. I don't need to hear about Dirty and PK. I don't care.
Right. And that, I think they are moving past it. So we'll keep you updated though, what is
Just
what.
move on. I also like it's weird without Lisa Rinna, and I love Eileen. Bring back Eileen. Poor Teddy has
Oh.
cancer now, which is sad.
Oh, I know. That's
I'm
so
reading about that.
sad. Oh my God, terrible.
Terrible. Love Potomac. Love Potomac also. Love
Love,
Potomac.
love. I'm like halfway through the first part of the reunion and it is stuffed full of content. It's amazing. Oh
Of
my God.
Potomac. Yeah,
Yes, it's
oh,
really
Karen
good.
Huger, the downfall of Karen Huger. Loved Robin on Traitors, should have stayed longer.
Yes.
Dorinda should have stayed longer. We have our Thursdays our date night, and we'll make a DiGiorno pizza, and we'll put on Below Deck and Housewives and the Traitors, and that's our night.
Honestly, that is ideal.
I mean, that's sex on a platter. It's so
Right.
nice. I love it.
The rising crust pizza isn't the only thing that's rising
Ba
from
baby,
that
well,
night.
after the show's like, we got to get through our program. Then the crust will rise.
Do you watch Jersey? Are you into Dolores on Traitors?
I like Dolores on Traitors. I had no idea who she was. I
Oh,
don't watch
she's
Jersey.
iconic.
I don't watch Jersey. The only ones I watch are Salt Lake, Potomac, and Beverly Hills, and old school New York.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you've ever worked with Luann, but could she be a stage fright guest?
Okay, I would love to have her sit as a stage fright guest. I did her cabaret twice, once at 54 Below and once on Long Island. The one was one of the best experiences I ever had, the second one, and the other one was one of the worst experiences I ever had, and it was awful, and it was awful.
I heard her audiences can be really rowdy and.
So I don't mind that because I'm like, whatever, it's not my show. But the one, without going into too much detail, because she was extremely lovely the second time, and I think she was really going through it the first time and had some shows canceled, and she went away for a couple
Oh,
weeks.
right. She missed the reunion. And
Yeah, she
yeah.
went away for a couple weeks after, and I've been sober for 14 years, so I have a lot of empathy and understanding around that. But in the moment, it was very frustrating, and some of the other performers were about to walk out. And the director was like, no, please, 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 we'll pay you more. Please don't leave. And it was really funny. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna go out and just do my thing and whatever. And Billy Stritch is playing piano for me, so I'm gonna live my best life. And I got not to be yay me, but I got this incredible standing ovation. And it was one of the only moments in the show that everybody was really focused in. And afterwards, I think Luann got pissed about this because Andy Cohen was like, they should call it Marty and Friends, not Lou and Friends. And I was like, ah! But then the second time, The second time I did it was on Long Island. The audience was really, really rowdy there, but she was lovely and so kind and so gracious and just a joy to work with and was really like connecting with everyone and she was having fun on. She wasn't like stressed or frazzled. She was having like so much fun and it was just like a joy. And so I was like happy for her and I kind of erased that other experience. So me talking about the other experience is just like not to like shade her. It's to talk about how like amazing human growth is. And
Yeah.
I would totally work with her again and totally have her on my show. I would love it. Because we've had Dorinda at the show
Oh
before.
my God. Dorinda is one
But
of my tops forever and ever and ever. She is
so I
unreal.
would let her top me, absolutely.
Wait, so Marty, talk about the show. So Stage Fright, it's a theater Broadway talk show. It's every Wednesday or most Wednesdays, right? At Red Eye.
Every Wednesday at Red Eye, which I love. Like we've done so many iterations of the show over 10 years, and we've been at Red Eye for like 6 months, I think. And it's so much fun. My friend Yaz is the piano player. We just had Mandy Gonzalez just came and like sang her face off. It was so good. Adam Pascal was just a guest. It was his second time during the show. Michael Kilgore, like these incredible Broadway performers. And coming up, we have like the guest list is so fun. Like it's so fucking stupid in the best way. And I know you're coming, Dylan, on March 19th. So March
Yes.
19th, it'll be her third time doing the show. But we have three-time Tony nominee Mary Testa will be there. And I
Love.
can't wait. I
Love.
can't wait. I can't wait. Kat Cohen's gonna be doing the show coming up. Great singer and comedian.
Obsessed with Kat.
Love
Love
her. Stephen Trask and Our Lady J. Ellie Ewald, who I'm obsessed with. Kirsten
Yes, yep.
Hodgins from Six. She's amazing. And we haven't like announced it yet, so I'm like kind of nervous to say it. Nobody knows this yet. But April 30th, we have Orville Peck, and I can't wait.
My panties have gone missing. They're never to be found again.
We were
I
just talking
am.
the other day. He's so nice. He followed me when I was on Worst Picks in America, and then we were just messaging. He's so fucking cool and so chill. And we have a fun little skit bit planned for the show, and I'm really excited.
Oh my God. I'm already douching. Like I'm
Same.
ready. I'm
April
coming.
30th. April 30th. April 30th.
Okay, all right. I know what my diet's going to be all week leading up to it, but wait, that is such a
I mean,
gap.
everybody you named is
They're
amazing.
all so talented,
There's
right?
always a reason to go. I mean, what is
Everyone.
the format of the show?
It's my version of like, so I loved the Rosie O'Donnell show growing up. I would watch it with my grandmother all the time. And every time I see Rosie, I like remind her that I'm obsessed with her show. And she's like, I know, bitch. But like, I was obsessed with the Rosie O'Donnell show. I remember watching like Heather Headley and Alice Ripley and Emily Skinner on it when I was a kid, and Bea Arthur and Audra McDonald, and just being like, oh my God, these people are like, I gotta live in New York. And I remember like my aunt used to live in a suburb of New York. And when I was a kid, we came to visit. And like when like a kid comes to New York, they're like, where's the Statue of Liberty? Where's the Empire State Building? I distinctly remember asking my parents, where's Rosie O'Donnell's studio? And I just was obsessed with her. So it's my version of like that show.
Oh, incredible. And what are the audiences like? Is it people of all ages?
Gay
Is
as
it
fuck.
like
Gay, baby, gay, queer, I should say queer. Just people who love theater. And what I love about it's like accessible theater. Broadway is so expensive. And this is a way for people to see, like, when are you going to see Adam Pascal 10 feet away from you singing One Song Glory? When are you going to see Orville Peck that close? But we had Joey McIntyre from New Kids on the Block. The room was full of women who like grew up with it. They drove from, I asked like the groups of people, like they drove from Buffalo and Boston and Philly and Baltimore and all these places, Pittsburgh. And it's because like they grew up with him and they got to, he took a picture with every single person in the audience. He sang beautifully from his jazz album. Like we had Anne Rankin years ago, just a couple months before she died. Like same thing, Fran Drescher, like Billy Porter singing from his Rodgers and Hammerstein album, Alex Newell. Like, when else are you going to get to see these people for no cover? Literally, the stage and the like, it's right there. Like, when else are you going to get to do that? So it's such a great opportunity, I think, for drag and theater to come together. And it's my two like loves like coexisting. And I don't know. It's such a. I wish like. Put it on TV.
I
It's
know. I
such
mean,
a
there's a gap in the market for sure missing with this type of a thing because there is such a huge
The Venn diagram, it's, you know, the middle is huge when it comes to this
Rosie,
interest area.
if you're listening, tag Rosie. If you're listening, produce it.
Well, I remember when Rosie
She'd
did
love
during
it.
the pandemic, she did like a revival of her show.
Obsessed. So mad it was canceled. Oh, I was talking about the Oprah Network one. You're meaning the one where like they were all on Zoom.
Yes,
Yes.
on
Okay.
Zoom.
But she did have the Oprah Network one, and I actually heard a really interesting podcast about the rise and fall of their Oprah Network version of the Rosie O'Donnell show. It was incredible. Marty, please remind me to send it to you because
Please, please, please,
it was
please.
with like one of the writers that they brought in, and like the way the show format changed and how it wasn't what it was back when it was on in the 90s, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It was so interesting. Okay, wait, so what's your favorite kind of stage fright experience? Do you want like the legendary legend, or are you into like someone who's maybe like a Kat Cohen, who's like a comedian who isn't necessarily like treading the boards on Broadway, but it's like, I guess, like
Yeah.
that, like kind of a different show.
I like, you know what I love? Like, I love that we have guests who are swings and understudies, which I think are the hardest working people in theater. We've had guests who are like replacements in shows. And then we have people who have like 8 million Tonys and Golden Globes and Grammys and all this stuff. And to me, it's like they're all like, of course, I love, you know, getting to sit across from Ann Rankin or sing a duet with Beth Level, you know, but or BB New or, you know, whatever. Like I love having the shot, like I'm just name dropping. Like I love
Yeah,
having all those
please.
people, but I also love like bringing people who are in the ensemble because they're busting ass. And there a lot of the people who I have on the show who have like been in the ensemble or who are swings or aren't like a household name, they've done like 15 Broadway shows. Like they're hustling and working all the time. So when I say like I want to make Broadway and theater accessible, it's all parts of Broadway. So like all of my guests have equal importance to me.
That's really special.
I love
And
it.
I remember we came to see Helena York. This was probably,
I just
oh my
texted her
God.
the other day.
She did your show. What was it called before it was Hush? Therapy
Therapy, yeah.
in Hell's Kitchen. Yeah. And I remember you played like a fun like trivia game with her or something like that. So there's always just different fun activities
Oh yeah,
going.
our game. So the date that this podcast is recorded, I have stage right tonight, and we have Jonathan Burke, who
Oh
is
yeah.
like such a sweetheart. So we're playing a game called Meow, and it's like trivia about people who have been in Cats because he was in Cats, Angelica Ball. And then I do a segment called Stars Are Just Like Us, and I put pictures of people they've been in shows with, and they have to tell a story, good or bad, about the person.
So good.
Oh, so there's tea.
Um,
Like
there's tea. There's definitely tea. And so I'll do that game. And then like I said, like Meow is like the one, like I'll do a game specifically geared towards like a show they're known for. So like Manny Gonzalez, we did a game that was called With One Look, and it was all trivia about people who have played Norma Desmond to see how much they
yes.
know. With Kate Baldwin, we did a thing like complete the lyric of like famous songs she's sung before to see if she remembers them. And
The results may vary. That's so fun. Oh my God. Okay, wait.
I'm obsessed with
Oh
her.
my God.
When you're pitching an idea to like a Beth Level or something, are you just saying to them, hey, I want you to do my show and sing this song? Or does that idea for like the song or the musical moment come later?
Well, a lot of it, like when I started the show at New World Stages like 10 years ago, I didn't really know like how do you approach someone. And I knew like Anthony Rapp from some activist stuff and Cheyenne. I don't remember how I met Cheyenne Jackson, but we like knew each other loosely and the Shawns. And we appeared at like some concert together. So I'd reached out to them and they all were like, yeah, we'll totally do this. We know that it will help you like build the show. And they were so lovely. And so now like a lot of it is like people I know, I've worked with before, I've done stuff, you know, through Playbill or Broadway Cares or whatever. And then a lot of times it's like referrals. Also, like I'll ask somebody, like, hey, thank you for doing the show. You did a show with this person. Do you mind connecting me? And then sometimes it's just a cold ask, you know? And like we have a couple guests coming up that I've never, like Manny Gonzalez, I'd never met her before. It was a cold ask. Oh, Mary Testa, she's done the show 3 times, but the first time I reached out to her, I'd never met her, I'd never worked with her. And now she's doing the show for the third time. So,
And she's got stories.
oh my
oh,
God.
they're so good. They're
Beyond.
so
Yeah.
good.
I love Mary. She's like that longtime New Yorker who has she's been in her rent controlled apartment. Like she's been through it. She is
In
amazing.
it. She's
Yes.
in it. She's got good stories. She's like the epitome of Broadway to me. Like, she's like badass, like the big voice of a Broadway, doesn't need a microphone. I'm sure she could fill a Broadway house without a microphone. Like, it's like, love all the Broadway shows now, but I love hardcore, old school. Give me some tap dance. Give me a belt with a fierce vibrato. Like, no mic needed. Some cheesy fucking story. Like, that's what I want. I want, like, how are things in Guacamora or whatever it's called. You know, I want like cornball.
Speaking of your love of Broadway, theater, drag, all of it is very intersectional. We have a segment on the show we call the Ring of Keys moment, where we maybe revisit a moment that was early on in your life or maybe a little bit later where you decided, well, there's no other path for me. This is going to be my whole journey. What did you say your moment was?
Oh, this is so cliche, but I wanted to become an actor. I was very young, like 4 or 5 years old. I saw a community theater production of Annie, and I was like, oh my God, those kids are singing and scrubbing the floor. Let me do it. And I was like obsessed with it. And that's like what, so I went to theater camp and all that stuff for like my whole childhood. But then, like, what got me into drag, like, my, like, oh, this is what I want to do. I was doing the show off Broadway, and the character was like Drag Light. And I just thought it was so fun and so cool. And so then I started going to go see Peppermint and Chiquita and Sherry Vine and these like drag legends, Candace Kane. And I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. Like, this is what I got to do. And so there was like those two like moments, both when I was very young.
When was the first time that you got into drag and performed?
It was this show Twist, the off-Broadway one.
Okay.
When was that? Like 2008, I'd like to say. Like, I was like 19 or 20. Yeah, 2008. And then I did like an episode of 30 Rock in drag. And then that was like, oh yeah, I can do this. I can do this.
Oh my gosh. And so from there, did you find like a drag community that you like looked to like, okay, how do I book a gig? How do I, all that?
Those legends that I talked about, they're the ones who were like so instrumental in my early career. And Sherry Vine would like let me come on stage and like do a number just for practice, which is like so kind of unheard of. But drag was very different then than it is now. Like, Drag Race wasn't really like what it is now. There wasn't 8 million drag queens and venues doing drag. So like most shows were like one drag artist on stage for like 2 hours by themselves. And so Sherry would bring me up, and my first weekly show I did, I threw a birthday party, and I had Lily Cooper and Matt Doyle and Frankie Grande as my guest singers. And I was like, I'm gonna host this show in drag. And the venue was like, oh my God, that was great. Do you wanna like do a weekly show like this? And so that was the first time I actually had Broadway guests. It was a show called Anything Goes. It was my first weekly at Vig 27. And that was like, again, just asking friends. And now, like, you know, all those people have like blown up in extraordinary ways. But this was like when they were like babies, like me, you know, we were really fucking young.
What was that venue that was at?
Vig 27, it was on 27th and Park. It closed a long time ago,
Okay.
back in the day.
What was like your home bar like over the years?
Therapy was probably my home bar for a long time because I did stage fright. I would say my home bar now is Red Eye and Rise, probably. Yeah.
Love Rise. Oh yeah.
Love Rise. I do a show there on Sundays. It's super fun.
And then you also have this monthly 54 Below Broadway drag brunch too, that seems to be like sold out all the
Sold out. March, sold out. You want a ticket? You can't get it.
time.
April, you can absolutely get a ticket.
For now, for now.
for now, come and get a ticket. Come and, I always stress about ticket sales, like because I'm like a psychopath. Like this last one, I was like, oh my God, only 20 people bought ticket. Oh my God, oh my God, only 20 people bought ticket. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then like always the week of it, like, so we sold like 100 tickets or something for this last one, which is sold out, you know? It's so much fun, and we bring different, like it's all live singing, no lip syncing. We have piano, you can do tracks there, piano, we have our piano player there. Excuse me, Brandon James Gwynn.
Oh, he's amazing.
Darnell White does it sometimes, as our musical director. Yaz does it sometimes. They're all brilliant musicians. But yeah, we have different drag artists every month, 3 or 4 different drag artists, drag queens, drag kings, all live singing. And yeah, get your tickets in advance because like the week of, it sells out every time. And March is already sold out, and it's in over a month.
Yeah. You mentioned there's so many drag queens now. And I think it is just so impressive that you have forged your own path and become so known and active without having been, I mean, you've been on a lot of reality TV, but you aren't on Drag Race or weren't on Dragula. I think that is so impressive. And it's an inspiring thing to be like, You don't have to just go onto a reality show to have a successful career in drag.
Yeah, I want drag artists to know that. You know, like, of course, there was a time when I auditioned for Drag Race all the time and I was like obsessed with it. And I still watch it religiously. I'm like Team Lexi Love, like,
Yes.
roots. Like, I'm obsessed with her. Now I'm like, that, I don't know. Like, that doesn't seem like it's my path. And that's okay. Like, there are so many ways to be successful in drag. And one of, like, the most important things is to be kind. Be gracious, be grateful, and hustle. It is a hustle. Even the most successful drag artist, I was talking to Bianca about this like a year ago. We're getting ready to do a cruise gig together on Friday, and I'm really excited to see her. But years ago, she said to me, she was like, I am traveling the world, and it's still just as much of a hustle as when I was at the bars, you know? And it's true. Like, everybody's hustling. Ariana Grande had to audition for Wicked, you know? Like, everybody's hustling. And so I would tell drag artists, you don't need a TV show. You need a work ethic and you need a hustle and you need gratitude.
Oh my gosh. I hope that we can blast that to everybody. I think that's so
Incredible.
important. Well, on every single Wednesday, new episodes of drama come out, and every single Wednesday, there's a stage fright at Red Eye in New York City, and everyone has to make it if they're in town. Before we say goodbye, we've had so much fun with you, by the way, Marty. This has been a blast. We
Baby.
do like to end with a dose of drama. This could be, a pop culture recommendation. It could be a rant, a rave, anything that you've got. We talked about White Lotus. We've mentioned a million Bravo shows. Connor, do you have anything that's top of mind?
I do. Well, you know what? I don't talk about my job outside the podcast much, but I just want to say I'm working on two plays this season, one off Broadway, one on. And at the time this is released, the off Broadway play Conversations with Mother, starring Matt Doyle, Marty's old
Love
friend,
Matt Doyle.
and Caroline Aaron from Marvelous Miss Maisel, amongst other projects, is playing at Theater
She's so
555 in
good.
Hell's Kitchen. Oh my God, so good. And I'm on the ad team for that. And then Purpose, the new Brandon Jacobs Jenkins play, is coming to Broadway, starting previews end of February. And if you saw Appropriate with Sarah Paulson, you're absolutely going to love Purpose. And I'm really proud of the ad campaigns for both. And I think everybody should go see them. And I feel like plays of the moment. So
Amazing.
you got to go check them out.
Plays of the moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dylan, do you have a dose of drama?
I think my dose of drama is if anyone has not yet watched the SNL 50 special, it did take me literally five different seatings to get through the entire thing because I just didn't have enough time for the full like 2.5, 3 hour type show. It is so amazing. I mentioned at the top of the show about like the history of New York. I feel like SNL and New York are so intertwined. It's extra special because Connor and I got to go and see a dress rehearsal for the Paul Mescal show in
Oh, so
December.
fun.
Oh my God, it was so
Oh,
fun. Have you
so
ever been to
fun.
SNL, Marty, or
No,
seen it or
I
anything?
want to.
That
Oh, and get
surprises
me
me.
a fucking ticket. Okay, the special, the concert, the music special, like reunion special, the four-part document. Baby, we watched. We were sick on Saturday, so we watched all of it.
Oh my God, that's the best way to pass the time. It was so funny. It's also like weirdly emotional. I mean,
Oh,
it
yes.
was really great. A lot of Sabrina Carpenter for anyone who's like a huge fan.
Shocking. Love her, but I was like,
Love. Yeah, I mean, I don't think she's hosted the show. Like, I think she's just been a musical guest. So I think it was interesting,
she hasn't hosted.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to now. She's all over it.
Including a prominent spot in the goodbyes.
She's got a great agent.
Basically. Marty, you've given us so much. Do you have a dose of drama, though, to leave our listeners with?
Okay, my drama is absolutely have a DiGiorno reality TV night to just escape from the world, get that pizza, get that stuffed crust, make it rise, do what you need to do, put on the trash TV, numb out watching a bunch of people fight with each other over absolutely nothing. It is so good. Mary Cosby is a hero. Just looking at the camera going, what about dessert? Gagged me. So do that, and also normalize punching Nazis in the face again. Just like whack them. So that's my thing. Housewives and beating the shit out of Nazis. Let's roll.
Oh my God. That's that we can all come together for, Marty. That is everything. And the DiGiorno.
And then DiGiorno, I fucking love DiGiorno.
It hits.
Baby, have you had a DiGiorno?
Oh yeah. I have two in my freezer right
As you should.
now.
And as do I, ready for tomorrow night. Oh, I love it. It's so good.
So
But
good.
wait, okay, hold on. Is it, so when I say DiGiorno pizza, we get two, one for the meat eater and one for me. So is it like bad that we each just like eat a DiGiorno pizza? Like, I like get, they seem like a personal, It's like a personal sign.
It's more personal pan. It's different than ordering from like a pizza delivery type
Yeah,
thing.
it's
Yes.
personal. It's a personal sign. So it's good. Okay, we're good.
You're
Okay,
totally
great.
fine. You're
Do this.
fine. You're fine.
Love
You're
it. It's so fucking
fine.
good.
The thing is, even if you were to only eat part of it, you'd eat the other half later.
Later at night, because I stay up till like 3 in the morning. So I would eat it later anyway. And the ranch dressing side dip, whoop, so
Oh, it's a must. That is a must. Absolutely. Although I don't love Hidden Valley, but that's a conversation for another day. Marty, it has been so nice chatting with you, having seen you on stage so much over the last couple of years, seeing your incredibly politically engaged posts. It is a treasure to know that we had this time together just to get to know the person behind it all.
Well, thank you both so much. This is great. I love it. Thank you.
Yay! Can't wait for Stage Fright. And everybody needs to follow you on Instagram. You're Marty G. Cummings.
Yep. See, that's it.
While they're following you, they've got to follow us at The Drama Podcast. I'm at Connor McDowell, and Dylan is at Dylan McDowell. Thank you again, Marty and Connor. I will see you next time. Drama!
Drama.